Welcome to Blondie and the Brit, Writing, Publishing, and Beyond. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit podcast. I am Blondie, KJ Waters.
And I'm Suzanne Cowman, I'm the Brit.
And together we're Blondie and the Brit.
Yay!
Woohoo! I am the author of Stealing Time.
And I'm the author of the Rejected Writers Book Club.
Welcome to Blondie and the Brit. This is our New Year's podcast. This show, we've decided a little bit different. Last week, we interviewed Charlie Love, and we have a little bit of information left over from his interview that we wanted to include in this one. And he's got some really creative ideas on how to market yourself that isn't your typical fare.
Yeah, and you know, with it being the New Year's podcast, we thought that we'd just make it a little bit more low-key. Charlie's so fun to listen to, and that was kind of an easy show. But we really still, as KJ said, wanted to get some of this information across. So, KJ, let me ask you, as we've been looking back over the last 6 months, we've actually been, you and I have been recording for 6 months. The show's only been on the air for just over three. But what are the things that you've really learned? Because we're both authors, and we both did this so that we could learn more about the process of promoting and publishing, and we wanted to share that with people. What are some of the things that you feel like you've learned from all of our authors that we've spoken to?
Well, the cool thing is that we've had such a variety of different authors, and it seems like each one has their own way of doing it. They have one thing that there is like their go-to device, and then they've kind of branched out from there. Seamus, for example, has written a book on how to publish a book. I mean, that was like he had several, you know, crime thrillers, and then to go out and do something like that, to have all this information. He's also won Blogger of the Year. I mean, that's been really successful for him to bring in, and I mean, something that he does almost every single day. So you've got that guy, and then you've got the Dave Perlmutter, who's out there. He also has a book on how he's marketed, but his is a much more marketing perspective because he is out on Twitter. He's got tons of followers. He's really pushing his products, and it's working for him. He's got number one rankings and all these different things. Now, Seamus does too, but it's just really neat to see the different strategies that everyone's taking on to, you know, to promote their books. The other thing that I've really enjoyed learning from the authors is that the way they make themselves write, and most of it is just about being consistent. So it's kind of opened my eyes, and some just seeing what they're doing, I'm thinking, yeah, I could do that. I could try this, and you know, so it's been a lot of fun just seeing the variety that we've seen.
And no one was the same. That was amazing to me too. There wasn't one author that said this works, and the next person said, "Yeah, that works for me." Everybody like did that where they really were working well. That's where they gravitated to, and I was amazed. I mean, Munir. I do remember Munir way back when we first interviewed him. He just gave out flyers on the street.
Yeah.
I mean, now he's got a 3-book deal.
Yes.
I mean,
you know, and a TV show.
Yeah, it has to be even. And I was just going to mention one last person that just sprung to mind was S.J. Herman. Now, both you and I on Twitter. But we are not doing Twitter like he is doing Twitter.
He's mastered
because
Twitter.
He has such a great following. And we asked him, you know, how do you have so many people that support you? Because it's not just followers, like a number.
Yeah.
He actually has real support out there in Twitter. And he said, you know, he really does reach out to people. You know, once they friend him, he connects with them. What can I do to help you? And I just haven't been that outreaching, you know, because there is a lot to do.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that because when we actually put his podcast out, he had a lot of listens, didn't he, KJ?
He exploded.
Left the rest of us in the dirt with his listens.
He did. And I mean, this is a guy who has like 4,000 Twitter followers, which is nothing to sneeze at, but it's not the Dave Perlmutter of 22,000 or whatever. It is a very small number, but it's how he's treated those people. That they're like super loyal fans. When we put that show out, what do you have, like 20 retweets or something right away on his show?
48, I think it went.
48 retweets.
You're like, okay, let's just interview him every week.
I know, it was incredible. So thank you, SJ, for all the support. But I mean, that's just a different way to do it. You've got other people that have, you know, mastered things in a different way. I'm not saying that that's the only way to do it. That takes a lot of investment and time, but it's working for SJ. And so to maybe try several different things and see, like, some people just aren't as comfortable in Twitter.
And I found it, I don't know whether it was just the people that we interviewed, but the men tended to be bolder with stuff like that. They would when Seamus went out to LinkedIn, he just wrote to people and said, you know, buy my book. I mean, and I would feel not so bold about that, but the men definitely, where women, I don't know, tend to be more, and I am being very general here, just been my experience, was that the women like the blogging or the more connective ways of being rather than the upfront marketing, more in your face marketing. So yeah. Maybe that is general, being too general, but it really is everybody tailored to their own. So we do encourage you, as you're listening to this, to go back and listen and think about what really appeals to you in marketing. And, you know, try something, try all of these things and find the one that works for you. And then, as KJ said, be consistent with that one thing. You don't have to do everything, just do the one thing that works for you and you're consistent in.
Right. I think that's a huge point. You can't do everything is the problem.
Yeah.
If you do everything, you will not be writing books. You will be marketing books. And that's a whole different thing. If you're into that, that's fine. But you're not getting your next book out, which is, for me, and Suzanne and I talk about this a lot, that is the one thing that you're supposed to keep doing. If you've got one book out and all you're doing is selling it, you're not perpetuating your brand. You need to have another book and another book. And so you've got to put your investment into your writing as well as the marketing, maybe even more.
Right. Without further ado, let's look at a few more of these things that Charlie had to share with us. First, let's start with what I did like. He talked about syndicating his podcast and how they've gone about doing that. And if you're an author out there or interested in podcasting full stop, then talk to us and we'll tell you not to. No, just kidding.
But I'm just We might.
No, I'm just but if you are thinking of podcasting and a little bit about that, Charlie Love is a great resource. So let's hear that little clip that we had from the interview that we couldn't air last week about how he syndicated his podcast.
So, okay, so with your podcast, do you have it syndicated? Do you have advertisers? How do you pay? You've got a whole staff of people that works on it. You've got editors and everything else and hosts and co-hosts and music and arts and all these interesting, cool things. How do you fund all of that?
So we went to Josh's name, and I went to Josh's. Look, I want to do this podcast, and interesting enough, started out in New York City because I'd been there, and that's what we did. You know, we started off, you know, and we did the news views, and then we were like looking for people to interview, and it started, you know, on that way. My son and I were talking about it. He goes, I've never heard about the podcast, and I don't really know that much about it. Why don't you do it? And if you do it, then we will do it as well. And they do one of their own on downpour.com where they interview nothing but, you know, authors, you know, like, you know, John Grisham, you know, big time people. And they have their narrators do it, and they did it in the film in their studios, and they put it on their website. But when we first started, he goes, yeah, why don't you try it? So we did it. We did a few different formats, but the answer was we already had everybody in place. We already had all the resources there.
Yeah, that helps.
The studio was there. The engineers were there. You know, the people that wanted to be on the show were already there. We talked about it for like, you know, 4 or 5 months before we ever actually went into a studio to try a few. And then now here we are years later, and it's like, you know, the show's taken on a life of its own, and everybody, you know, is really, really fit in well. Really, you know, turned into, you know, a great thing. You asked me, you know, about people we've had on. We've had so many people that it's hard for me, you know, to pick out one person because everyone's got such an interesting story to tell.
Yeah. It's a really interesting, the way you have the format too, that first you talk about entertainment news and you've got a crowd of people that are all talking about different things that have like popular in the news and things like that. And then you have different segments. It's really well produced. It's very interesting. It's quick pace. I've enjoyed, I subscribe now and I listen to it. How often do they come out? I know that you have, you're up to episode 70 or something. You do like one a week. How does that work?
You know, when we go into the studio and we used to be on weekly when it was a half an hour show in the beginning, but then now we're up for an hour because we just found that, you know, what we wanted to do, we needed more time.
Yeah.
When we did it in half an hour, it sounded, you know, too rushed and, you know, why bother, you know?
Right.
So, you know, the hour long thing worked out really well for us. And you know, it just, we like doing the news reviews because it cuts everybody up. You get to have, you know, a good exchange and a lot of laughter.
So
we found, you know, the news reviews is cool. It cuts everybody up. We record once a month. We used to go in and do it, you know, a lot. And then it got to be really cumbersome and it took away a lot. You know, it's just fun in the 80s. If you look at our set list of all the people that have been on our show, it's just like, you know, it's amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah. Just in one episode, I mean, you have, like you say, you do an art section. You talk about the entertainment news and then you have an author on and then you talk about the audiobook. It's just a lot in a podcast that you do. I'm not surprised you do it once a month because it's got to be a ton of work just to record all those pieces and then put it together where it all fits into an hour, because it's a lot of information.
What we do is, you know, we go in and we record once a month, and when we record for multiple shows.
Yeah, I was thinking that would probably be
more efficient. That's what I was wondering. Yeah. That's interesting.
A lot more efficient.
Because in the beginning, we were really topical, and, you know, just like anybody else, you know, and like, hey, it's Halloween, or whatever, you know, but then I decided that, you know what, we got to stop doing that because, you know, if you look at anything that stands the test of time, it's not based on, you know, what's current. I mean, it's, you could talk about current movies, you could talk about this and that, but if you make the conversation interesting enough, it'll hold up in any time.
We do like a show notes page that all the listeners can go to, and they can find links to your podcast and your recording company and all the different things that we've talked about here, so that they can, you know, look into it themselves if they want to do an audiobook or, you know, buy an audiobook or whatever. So they
will. Hey, hopefully all of our 10 followers will do that.
No, it's going to be more than that. We're
Yeah, baby, you go.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go, girl. Jeez, I knew she was pregnant. Bump that up to 11 there.
Yes, the baby will have to subscribe as well.
Only one Charlie Love, I can tell. So, yeah, Charlie Love is such a blast. I love listening to him chat. He's real fun. And, you know, one of the other things, KJ, do you remember he also talked about, as well as the podcast, he talked about different ways to get your book out there. He had two great ways. And one of them was dramatizing your piece. Do you remember what that was about?
Yeah, he did a good job describing it. Something that he did for his brother's book. And he's got a studio, and he does the recorded book. So he had a lot of resources to do that. But I thought that was a really good idea to do. You could even do a short version. I know a friend of mine recorded he had kind of a still pictures on it, and he recorded a little bit of voiceover from the book. So there's things that you can do that are similar to that could just get people excited about, you know, reading your book.
You know, even if you did a short clip for YouTube or something, that would be kind of great too, you know, or a trailer. So let's hear him talk about his brother and what they did with his book.
Well, and I have an older brother who's an author, and he's written several books. And when I read his books, I did one of his books, we turned it into a radio drama, a detective story. And instead of just reading it, you know, outright, then after we made it into a radio drama, so, you know, played like a, you know, something you heard on old time radio, and it just made his book like, you know, 50, 60 times better than what it was.
How exciting.
Oh,
that is cool.
Even he said that. He said, you know, he goes, that brings a whole new dimension, brings a whole new thing to the story, and you just, it was like night and day.
That is cool.
That's why I like doing stage readings on my script. Same thing. You write it, it's in your head, but once you see an actor take hold of it, they take it in a whole different direction. It's really amazing.
Yeah, we'll set you up, man. Anything you need, you let us know, and we'll.
Yo, thank you, Charlie Love. That's why you call Charlie Love.
Charlie Love, because we love Charlie.
We love Charlie.
Yeah.
And on that note.
Cool. So the next thing that we have is Charlie Love's talking about some videos that he has on his Facebook page for Just Imagine It, Inc., the podcast. And he, to promote himself, he did these cute little clips. It's just one of them's a guy acting, another one's a woman acting, and it's just a little small scenario. But we thought it was kind of a neat idea to, another way to promote something. And it's on the Facebook page. So when you first load up his page, they're there to see. You can kind of scroll through them. So I thought that was kind of creative. Here's his bit on that.
On our Facebook page, which is justimagineinc.com, you can go on, you know, go on to Facebook, go to Just Imagine Inc. Facebook page, and you see under videos, you're going to see a guy there with like a mug, look a face from New York, and like a gangster hat, right? Okay, that's a video. We did a promo video, and I had him, this guy, shoot this video in New York, right? And he starts talking, and he's going like, hey, man, you know, everyone's got to, he has holding like a hammer, you know, like a sledgehammer. And he's like, he's going, hey. And he's got, it's all filled in black and white, and the grain goes back and forth, right? Like an old-time movie.
Right.
And he goes, hey, all you mugs, listen up out here, man. Oh, I know what you're excited about. It's a new episode.
Oh, I saw that.
And he starts going through the whole thing, right? And he's going like, you know, Maya's going to be on, and Jerry, and, you know, and Chrissy, and he goes, and then, damn, Charlie Love. And then he goes, oh, man, I could just kiss him right now, man.
So funny.
And it was funny because I showed it to everybody. They go, what do you think? It's hysterical. And they go, I'm thinking we pretty much know who wrote that.
Yeah, right. There's a mystery going on here. Oh, that's so funny.
I said, look, man, you guys just leave my bromance out of this, okay?
Bromance. God loves me. Let him love me. It's okay.
Yeah, we did one with a woman who did a Keystone Cops character thing where she threw.
I think I saw that one too. I definitely saw that one too. That's funny. Well, that's good though. Anything to kind of get people interested and laughing and, you know, get your brand out there that it's entertainment. And it says on your Skype status that you're 113.
I am.
That's amazing. That is amazing. You have good genes.
You're sounding good for that.
Your picture looks pretty good, too.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Being known by two identities.
Man, we better keep some of these.
103, yeah. And I have a birthday coming up in January, so I have high aspirations of being 104.
Wow. Well, I hope you make it. That would be great.
You know, but it's like, you know, when, you know, we're talking about the publishing industry, which, you know, I'll give you, you know, my tagline, as I said, my tagline is there's never been a more exciting time to be in the publishing industry because...
I totally agree.
You do have books to write. Let's talk about your book, Stealing Time. I love that book, and you know, I've read it a few times now.
Get out!
First time for enjoyment, second time I did it for preparation, and the third time is because I was like, well, I'm going to brush up on this a little bit more and see what I think.
Get out. You actually, no, you're 100% serious.
I don't think KJ's read it three times.
You read, no, I've read that book like 800 times because I've had to edit it, but did you really read my book three times? Are you serious? You're not just like blowing smoke?
No, that's what we do. I mean, you know, and that's what I do too. You know, we do the podcast, which we, you know, we find fascinating, and we've met so many fascinating people like yourself, you know, from all around the world, and it's been great. And then, you know, we also publish books. We publish audiobooks. We're the number one audiobook publisher in the United States and Europe. So
wow.
We started the podcast, Keep Pounding Us, there 4 years ago. Before that, we were, you know, doing publishing. We do ebook publishing. We do audiobook publishing, obviously. And that's why I read so many scripts. And you were asking me, you really read it three times. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I do. Yeah.
And then we end on a little clip from Charlie telling a story about interviewing a very interesting person. You'll see who it is. He sets it up well.
I knew an actress. And her name is Pamela Bowen, and she's a very good actress. She actually won for the New York for the best independent film, as best actress. But she, when I got a hold of her, you know, she had a movie that had just come out, and we were, you know, talking about that. And she was like, you know, when she came up to me and she said, "Look, because I don't mind if you talk about my ex-husband, because everybody knows who he is, and you know he's very famous, and he's famous all around the world." So she goes, "But I just don't want you to dwell on that, right?" So her name is Pamela Bowen. To me, I didn't know what her married name was, right? And then I go, "Well, okay, well, who are you married to?" She goes, "I was married to Paul Stanley, and he's the lead singer and guitarist from Kiss."
Oh, my God.
And I go, "Oh, okay, because I don't care if you ask me about him, you know, because I know he's real famous and people want to know about it, you know? She goes, but I want to concentrate on the movie a little bit." So she told us some funny stories about him, too, and it was actually pretty funny because she came from a, like, you know, somewhere deep in the heart of Texas, you know, on some prairie, and you know, he was a famous rock star. She goes, somebody sent them up on a date, and she opened up the door. She was in LA, and she goes, "For the very first time in my life, I saw a man standing there with hair longer than me." And you know, he obviously wasn't wearing his makeup, and he's like, "Hey, you know, I'll buy you some flowers, you know, you want to go out to eat?" And she says, for the first 2 or 3 months they dated, he would not tell her what she did. She goes, "All your friends say is that you manage a rock group." And he goes, "Yeah, that's what I do." And then she said, "Well, where do you guys play? I'll come see you play some night." And he goes, "Well, we don't play in bars." She goes, "Well, how do people see you?" And he goes, "We play in stadiums."
Oh, my goodness. She didn't even know. That's so funny.
His makeup, I mean, he's not as obvious, right? Because he wore all that makeup in Kiss.
No,
right.
But the fact that he kept it from her is pretty entertaining. He wanted her to develop a relationship that had nothing to do with his fame, which is pretty smart, but it's just kind of odd. Then she figures it out. He must have blown her mind.
No, it was so funny when she was telling Pamela, she was going, you know, we're having dinner, and she goes, "I never hear your band play, but your friends say that, you know, you guys are pretty good, blah, blah, blah." And he goes, "Well, whatever." She goes, "Well, where are you playing?" She goes, "I come down to see you guys play. Are you playing, like, you know, like a Joe's Bowling Alley or whatever?"
Joe's Bowling Alley. not likely.
He goes, no. I'm going to play bars. I'm going to play pubs, you know, or clubs." And she goes, "Well, where do people hear you?" And he goes, "Stadiums." And she goes, "No, get out of town." She goes, "Name me a song that you do." So he named up a couple of songs, and they were like number one. And she's just like, "No." Yes. "You're a Kiss?" And he goes, "I am."
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh, that's so funny. I wonder how long that was into their relationship.
You know, from the way she told it, if I remember correctly, it was like 4 or 5 months where they were dating.
Yeah. Are you serious? She didn't know what he did for 4 or 5 months? I would think he was a bomb.
Well, he was supposedly managing a rock band, you know?
Yeah, but in 4 or 5 months, that would have come up, like, you know, where were you? You were out of town at a concert. So, I mean, sheesh, that's
yeah, that's
a,
she was pretty naive. That's amazing.
Well, you know, those were back in the '80s.
Well, true. She might have been distracted by something else.
Yeah. She, you know, he might not have been the only guy she was dating.
Well, that's a good point.
Because, you know, think about it, though. You know, it's like, you know, without his makeup on, you know, and his entourage and stuff like that, he just looks like another guy walking down the street with long hair.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. Well, and the fact that he didn't use that to get dates tells you a little bit something about his character. It's not like he was looking just for another hot lay.
Like John Lennon, you know, without the other three guys, who was he? He was just a guy at a bar.
Just some dude with glasses, man.
Yeah, he was just a guy at a bar, and he wasn't even a good-looking one.
Sorry, John.
Sorry, John. It's true, though. He wasn't cute.
So as we go into the new year, this would be a nice way to kind of round this segment up, KJ. Have you got some goals that you would like to do during this next year? I mean, personal goals.
Personal goals. Well, yes. I want to get my second book done. And at the rate I've been going, that's not going to happen in March like I want to. So I really need to, now that the holidays are over, I need to just get my butt in gear and start getting it down.
Well, let's hope that you get that done this year. And me too.
What about you?
Right there. My second book too. I mean, that's the same. I'm right in the middle of that right now, and I've got to get that finished. And hopefully this time next year, we'll be checking in and saying, hey, we got our book written, and now we're writing book three.
Yes. You know, oh, yeah, great. That would be nice.
And also for the podcast, I guess I just hope that this continues to be the inspiration that it seems to be for people, that we continue to find great people to talk to, that it moves forward the way it's meant to move forward, and just be a support to writers out there. You know, I love that it seems to be doing that job, you know?
Yeah, I'm really excited about it too. We exceeded all of our goals for launching this podcast, so we have to thank everyone out there listening to us, because it's really taken off, and I only see bigger and better things. I mean, and the people that we have lined up, I did want to give you just a little teaser. All right, here's who we have coming up, and this is in no particular order. This is just the people that I've scheduled interviews for, or we've also already recorded that will be airing this year. Martin Lestrop of the Martin Lestrop Podcast Hour, and he also has several award-winning books. We've also interviewed Terry Persun, who has a multitude of books out there and just about every genre you can imagine.
I got very inspired by his interview.
Yes.
I can't wait to hear that one.
He's so smart. He teaches writing classes. He markets in all these different ways. We're also interviewing J.D. Lex, who is a romance erotic author. We will have him on our Valentine's show. We also have Vaughn Murphy, who has written several books, gets up at like 2 a.m. to write, so it'll be really fun to hear her information. Tom Nichols is used to be the chief of police in a town in Arizona, and he's written a book that has been picked up by Quentin Tarantino's dad to make the movie of it. So that'll be interesting to hear about his movie process. And we have a whole bunch of other people that are in queue. We just have, you know, I'm not going to say their names because we haven't actually recorded them yet. But is there anyone you want to add, Suzanne?
I was going to say, I know Patricia Sands is coming on. She's also a multi-book author who is also with the same publishing house as me. So
oh, cool.
Be exciting.
Oh, yeah, that'll be interesting.
And Patricia's. But I think it's going to be a great few months. And we're always looking for people. So if you are an author and you have some unique ways of marketing and you've been out there a little while so that you can be helpful out there too, that would be wonderful. Would love to hear from you.
The website address is blondieandbrit.com. Thank you for joining us on our final podcast of 2015. We look forward to a really successful and prosperous 2016.
Yeah, well, thank you for joining us in 2015. Can't wait to hang out with you again next year.
Happy New Year!
So join us next week, where we will be interviewing Martin Lestrop, an award-winning author of the Vampire and the Hunter trilogy and the host of the Martin Lestrop Show Podcast Hour.
You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's blondieandbrit.com.